Turkey shelters millions of Syrian refugees who fled the war at home, and the majority live in the earthquake zone, in southern cities near the Syrian border. Asala Shekhani is one of them. A teacher by trade, she works with the Karam Foundation that helps other Syrian refugees in their new homes. But now the lives they were building in this new place are shattered. Like tens of thousands of others, Shekhani is now left homeless. And the pain and rawness of Shekhani's story is going to be difficult to listen to. But what you're about to hear, it's the story of countless people across southern Turkey and in Syria right now. Shekhani starts with the moment the ground began to shake.
I heard a big noise. Earthquake begins. I put my daughters under the table. Everything fell down on us. So no electricity. It's so darkness. I'm trying to make my daughters out of the building. So there is a small hole. We make all the kids out one by one. And it was a heavy rain, heavy rain and cold. So I take all my daughters and my brother's wife and his kids, my dad, my mom, to the park. And then we pack with my brother to make my two aunts. They are all out of the building. So we put them on our bike and take them out. But when we out, I don't see the rest of the family. We don't know where they are. Yeah. With no hijab, with no shoes, just with pajamas. Yeah. I was running and shouting with the names of my daughters. Where are you? Where
did you find you? Them?
I find them. Yes, I find them finally. Alhamdulillah.
They stayed with.
Yeah, they were a Turkish people. They are very good with us. They took the kids and put them close to the fire because it was very cold. They are very wet and trembling with no shoes.
They're in an open park. It's freezing. They have no shoes. She doesn't have her hijab. She finds her mom, then her dad, and then the ground begins to shake again.
If you are on the ground, you feel that the ground is walking. It's shaking. It's shaking. Every 2 hours is shaking. We were very, very worried. And all the kids, you know, they are crying. They need milk. There is no milk, no blankets. We stayed one day out, nobody there, as a ghost city. No, we don't have phones. We don't know what's happened. Many of kids under the ground. No, we aren't able to. They died.
I'm so
many
sorry.
Of them, they died. They died.
Her two uncles' families are gone. A mother of three was crushed by a wall. There was nowhere to take her because the hospital collapsed. She died in the car where they sheltered.
She has died and stayed in the car 2 days because the hospital is off. The hospital is damaged and collapsed totally. She stayed died with us in the car.
Oh my gosh. Asana, you shouldn't have to go through this. How old are your girls?
I have 5 years old and I have 14 years old.
She and her family sought shelter at a makeshift camp. At first, they were given a tent.
We came yesterday at 4, and he said, okay, I will give you a tent. I stayed 2 hours in the cold with my daughters. Then he said, oh, I'm so sorry. There is no one for you. He put three families only. They have only seven people. They put them in the camp, in the tent, and he let me with my daughters out. I stayed in the car yesterday here. And today, again, I went to the camp with my family. We are 12 women and 8 kids with us. And we have babies. Oh. They said, okay.
Is there anyone providing aid, providing blankets, providing shelter? Is there anywhere to get help?
No, nothing. In Antakya, nothing here, nothing.
The Turkish city of Antakya was ravaged by the quake.
We don't see any people. In Antakya, we don't see any people. Even we don't know what's happened. We don't know the news. We don't know where we have to go. There is no police, no rescue teams, no emergencies. Even for medical issues, we don't have centers or we don't have. Nobody listens to us. Nobody tell us what we will do. We stayed 2 days in this park. 2 days.
So Asala says the people stranded in the park searched for food on their own.
What the people did, they went to the markets, they ruined the doors, they rock it and take it out, everything inside, just to eat.
Oh.
We forced to do that. We forced to go to the market.
You need food for your family.
Yeah, we forced to do that. You know, for toilet, there is no place in front of each other. We do it in front of each other.
Your whole life is about helping people. You know, you're a teacher at a school for refugees. You had to leave your home already in Syria because of war. Have you been able to reach any organizations to tell them where you are so they can come and help you?
I have many of my friends. Now I called some organizations. I told them, I'm trying to support myself. I said, it's okay, we can support each other because other people, they need support. I wait that may I can manage myself by myself. But when what's happened today with us and kick us out, I call my organization, please, I need help. I'm not able. I'm so tired now. I can't go anywhere. I am so tired.
Asala works for an aid organization, the Kerem Foundation, that helps refugees like her. She teaches in one of their schools. At first, she thought she could manage on her own so they could help others. But she's cold. She has nothing. And no help has come.
I don't have anything, even my cards, even money. I don't have anything. So now they will come to take us to Rihanli. It's not safe, but at least it's better than here. Up till now, people underground, nobody take them out. Please let the world know. Nobody take them out.
Yeah.
Nobody.
No,
nobody. Nobody take them out. Nobody. Antakya is a ghost city. Ghost city. Nothing there. Nothing there. No life at all.
Right now, there are millions of people that will be listening to you, that are listening to you. If you want to say something about how people can help, what people can do, what you need.
Really. As I'm a Syrian refugee. Who flees since 12 years ago and start life again from zero. We don't care for anything, no for building, nor for clothes, nothing. Just rescue our lives as refugees. Just rescue our lives. We don't have anything. We have loved people under the ground. Even we don't have money. Just rescue us as refugees here. We are the weak point as refugees here.
As Syrian refugees, she says, they're particularly vulnerable. They're not from Turkey. Their country is still consumed by civil war. She worries.
Even we are worried for the future. What will happen? It's very difficult to find work again, to make life again. Because it was difficult. How we will continue life here again, we don't know. Please rescue us as refugees. Just as a human, to save our souls. Only this. We don't know food, we don't know money, we don't just a simple life. And to protect our kids, and to make a small future for them. Small future.
And I hope that people will hear this, and more help will come. We're praying for you and your family, and we'll keep calling back to check on you. We'll keep calling back to check on you and see how you are.
Thank you for everyone who listened to us, even just to pray for us. Thank you for all.
Asala Shekhani is trying to survive this disaster. She works for the Kerem Foundation, a Syrian aid organization that invests in refugees and operates in Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan. But now they're doing disaster relief.
As we just heard, this earthquake and the hundreds of aftershocks in Turkey and Syria spells out a monumental and urgent need for help. And a lot of people are looking for ways to get their money to the right places quickly. Charity Navigator, a nonprofit that rates charities, says they're seeing it online.
We're seeing double the traffic we've been seeing over the last couple of weeks.
Michael Thatcher is CEO of Charity Navigator and says when deciding where to donate, start by figuring out how you want to help.
Think about, do I want to engage in the immediate clearing the rubble? Is it focused on children? And so what organizations are affecting really specific things you want to address and then find an organization that's doing that?
And once you find a charity you want to support, Thatcher says, do some research to avoid scams.
Go to a site like Charity Navigator, look up the organization, and see if the organization that you're being asked to give to actually exists in our database. If it's a legal 501c3 nonprofit, it'll be in our database. We have 1.6 million organizations there, and we won't let you give to a fake charity.
If somebody should reach out to you for a donation?
Ask them for their employee identification number. It's a little bit like a social security number for the charity. If they can't give you that number, chances are you've got someone who really doesn't know anything about the organization or they're not real.
You should also look out for aggressive solicitations.
So a red flag is being pushed and coerced into giving when you're not quite ready to do so.
Yeah, take your time. Now, there's a long list of organizations responding for real to the emergency in Turkey and Syria.
This spans from Save the Children, CARE, UNICEF USA, Doctors Without Borders, Project Hope, Direct Relief, the Islamic Relief USA.
And then there are the local organizations in Turkey and Syria. And if you want to do more than donate, Thatcher says,
look for volunteering opportunities that the charity is publishing.
The need is urgent now, but with entire neighborhoods gone, that need won't disappear when the story's out of the headlines.
One way to keep helping, Thatcher says, is setting up a recurring gift once you find an organization that you do want to support.